soft intro music like drawing everybody in. I think we can kill the music for it. Oh, man. As we begin, let us pray. Open, Lord, my eyes that I may see. Open, Lord, my ears that I may hear. Open, Lord, my heart and my mind that I may understand. And so shall we turn to you and be healed. Amen. Welcome to Advent week numero two. David kicked off a series last week gearing around Advent called It Takes a Child. And this week, as I've been mulling over how I'm going to take that phrase, it takes a child, and then lead it into the Jesus story where we look at the ways in which this child become man interacted with the world and who was attracted to him and who revolted from him and everything that takes place when you get into the Gospels when this child becomes man, goes out in the world and starts making an influence in the world. I started thinking to myself, in which ways have it kind of taken a child, has affected me and myself and my own personality? I know from my kids who have their mama's personality, except Dylan. Dylan got his dad's personality, which is just like low-key everything. Just completely middle road of everything. The girls, on the other hand, not so much so. They got their mama's personality. So when it snows outside, Lily does things like this with this video. You may want to start the sound, Brent. So she pretends to have a Santa Claus, and then Allie. That's what quarantine looks like in our house. So it takes a child for me to especially the girls and Dylan as well. To bring a smile to my face, to get me off of my middle ground, even kilter type of thing that I like to be on. It takes a child to kind of waken me up out of that, to get me up out of that. So we start with laughter, start with a little bit of me, while my girls are still at the age where I can show videos like that and get away with it. I'm going to transition into this next image that you'll see on the screen. And some of you may have seen this before. I saw this on Facebook from one of my professors a couple years ago. And every Christmas season, I just dwell on this image. It says so much. If you can see it, you see Mary and you see Eve and you see Eve wrapped up in the snake, and you see Mary embracing Eve, Eve's hand on Mary's belly, knowing what it's going to take to set the course right again. And you could sit and look at that for a really, really long time. The captivation of this picture and all the thousands of years of history, events, people, places, and all that God was at work doing up until the reality of this picture. Advent is fundamentally and unquestionably a story of God's work and faithfulness to His people, from Eve to Mary, in and through the birth of Jesus, and into the second advent by which we pray, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Jesus came to a specific people in a defined region at a fixed point in history, and yet He continues to come. He continues to arrive, and He is present to His people in every place and in every age. It took a child to begin God's big restoration project, because God is in the restoration business. And each year, each Advent, it invites us to some sort of response, with powerful, powerful words like hope and all that goes into that very, very big word. Hope is a powerful word. And all that goes into the very powerful word, peace, love, joy. All one-syllable words, mind you. But my goodness, the weight that they carry and the impact and the force with which comes out of those words. And yet, we have one true response. Praise. Nothing more, nothing less. Praise. And as the story goes on, we realize that we just don't stay within Bethlehem, within the Advent season. The Advent, the arrival of Jesus, draws us deeper into the story of Jesus. The gospel accounts begin with, "It takes a child." Just as breath was breathed into Jesus' lungs, the Gospels reveals the ways in which this child who would become man breathed life where there was death, peace where there was chaos, and hope where there was despair. Parker, you can come on up, bud. It took the coming of a child to remind shepherds that they too belong in this story. Their story is very much connected to the story of all stories unfolding right before their eyes. I'm welcoming Parker Desidicki to the stage. He is going to do our Advent reading this morning from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up on all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
It was a night like any other night, except for that angel. Ain't seen nothing like it before or since. Us shepherds, we don't get a lot of excitement out there in the pasture. But that angel, it was so bright, so beautiful. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Sam, you've been out in that pasture just a little bit too long. And you'd be correct. But that all changed when that angel came right up to us. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." I was like, too late. And then the angel said, no, I wrote it down. I need to get this right. Hold on. Okay. The angel said, that's my grocery list. Then the angel said, "I have good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the angel said, "He's lying in a manger, wrapped in cloth. Go find him." Okie dokie. So we're all sitting around, and then one of the shepherds, I think it was Steve, he's like, "Hey, what are we doing? Let's get out of here. Let's go to Bethlehem." So we hightailed it out of there, and we found that beautiful baby. I'll tell you, I was a different man after that. God chose me. nobody's ever chosen me for anything. I'll never forget what that angel said, though. The angel said, I bring good news to all people. That means you too.
Thank you, Parker. Thank you, Skit guys. My goodness, they're so good. When we truly pay attention, when we shema, and I think those of you that have been around here enough, you know what that word means. When we truly pay so close attention, when we truly lean in, when we pay so close attention that what we hear does something to us. When we shema the Gospels, we see over and over again what this child become man was inviting God's people to see and embrace about themselves as a people belonging to God, especially those who never thought that they belonged in the first place. The Gospels were written to keep the story of Jesus going. We get that. We understand that. And at the same time, they were written down to inspire, to encourage the people of God as to who they are as a people who have committed themselves to living like, to following Jesus. It took a child to reawaken within God's people the calling and special responsibility of being a people belonging to God. Jesus fully and completely bore witness to everything Israel was called to be. And as Jesus' followers, we too are invited and called to live into and to live out from this same calling. What it means to follow Jesus is to follow Jesus. It is to shema the Gospels. It is to pay so close attention to the Gospels that they're not just great literature, even though they really truly are. But over time, when you spend time shema-ing the Gospels, yes, I made that up and that's okay, go with it. You see something different in yourself. Others see something different in you. It's doing something to you. Two passages from Isaiah that bears witness to Jesus and to us as His followers. The first one is Isaiah 42, verse 6. This was who Israel, God's chosen people, the ones that wrestled with God. This was a part of their calling. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles. Israel's calling wasn't just to be God's chosen people, though they were God's chosen people. Their calling was to be a light to the nations, a light to those that are pre-believers. We need to remove the language of non-believer and unbeliever out of our lips and start using language like pre-believers. They're not believers yet. Those of you that were able to see The Chosen with us on Thursday, how many of you wanted to go talk to the people at the concession stand? People must know, right? People must know this story that has changed us. Can't stay in these seats. Can't stay in these walls. People must know. Our calling is to be a light to the nations. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government, when you see government, and our team, we talked about this in our youth class this morning. When you see the word government, we've been conditioned so much in a way that we think U.S. government, or we think Mexico government, or Canadian government, or whatever. We think of this structured set of type of things, and that's okay, but that's not the direction with which Isaiah was drawing his audience nor us to seeing government. You think law, you think rule, you think reign, you think authority. So this child that's born to us, this son that's given, the authority, the rule and reign will be on whose shoulders? It's on the screen. His, not ours. His authority, his rule and reign, because he's the only one strong enough to bear it. And we lean on his shoulders. We lean on the everlasting arms, right? That him? We lean on his shoulders because it's his authority, because he's the only one that can bear it. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It took a child to become the Prince of Peace, and the Prince of Peace lived out these messages of light and peace out from Isaiah and onto the passages of our Gospels. Gospels in flesh. To embody and to equip God's people for two things. Identity. You are a light to the nations. Congratulations, when you baptized, that's what you signed up for. You are now a light to the nations. And mission. This is what it means and this is what it looks like to being a people belonging to God. In other words, this is my story. This is my song. And the rest of the song is going in your head. I know it is. Our main text this morning that we're going to briefly journey through is one that we looked at this summer in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. And we're not going to reread it. I invite you this afternoon to read it out loud. Let you be drawn into the story of where Mark is taking Jesus. And as Jesus did these things, go in, smell, be there, be present. Dive into the story. But for the sake of our topic this morning, would like to label this peace in the midst of chaos. You've got two different characters in this story. You've got a synagogue leader named Jairus. And that phrase, synagogue leader, is weighty and heavy, and it's there on purpose because with a synagogue leader comes respect. It comes, he can walk in public. He can go wherever he wants to, for the most part, as long as the Romans will allow him. But being a synagogue leader comes with all of these special responsibilities and special privileges. And at the same time, we have this lady who's known as the unnamed woman, whom Jesus gives her the name of daughter. It's beautiful. Absolutely, positively beautiful. But as Jesus was crossing by, this synagogue leader came at Jesus and he fell before Jesus' feet and he pleaded with him because his daughter needed to be healed. In verse 24, which is the only verse I'm going to focus in on with this particular story, says this: Jesus went with him. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. As the story continues, this unnamed woman jumps on the scene. This is a sandwich story, so you've got two stories running in together with a lot of good meat in between the two pieces of bread. In verse 32, after she has reached out and touched Jesus, because she thought in her mind, if I just touch him, I will be healed. And Jesus immediately knew that power had gone out from him. So immediately Jesus starts looking and he starts asking his disciples, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples, being the disciples, were like, are you kidding me, Jesus? We're all these people, and yet you're going to ask, who touched me? They're just being real. They're just being themselves. And Jesus continues to look for who touched him. Verse 32. Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Jesus searches for people with faith. He kept looking. He kept searching till he found the one who touched him with faith. Jesus searches for people with faith. The third point, later on in verse 34, after she comes before him trembling. However, she caught on that Jesus was looking for her because she was hiding, because she couldn't be out in public because of her condition. And everyone knew of her condition, so she had to hide to get her way to Jesus. But she did not let that get in the way of her getting to Jesus. In verse 34, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has sozoed you." There's a word for the day. Sozo. It means healed. It means saved. It means rescued. Take your synonym pick and insert it in there and then let it work on you. Your faith has rescued you. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus has the authority to speak peace into your life. And though we're not given this story justice at all, we don't have time this morning. But two very, very quick things that I want to draw in one of the heart of the Gospels is insiders belong. Jairus was a synagogue leader. He was an insider. He very much belonged within the religious community. And outsiders belong. This unnamed woman who now gets the name of daughter for all time in history belongs because Jesus said you belong. Insiders belong and outsiders belong. This child become man welcomes everyone and he invites his Jesus followers to welcome the same. Insiders belong. Those of you that were born in a pew, you belong. And those of you who are just new to this whole Christian thing, you belong too. Belongs. Last point about this story it's a part of Mark's gospel. Neither one of them would let anything get in the way of them getting to Jesus. When you read Mark's gospel, you see these crazy stories, and people would not let anything get in the way of them getting to Jesus. They wouldn't let anything get in the way. The invitation, as we begin to transition out of our sacred time in here and we go out to the sacredness of the world, the invitation as we leave this morning, in all the places we shall go, in all the places and the people that we shall see, the well-respected Jairuses of the world who need a word from those whose stories are caught up and caught into the mission of reflecting the light to the nations. That's us. Whose eyes and hearts are open to their calling. This is a word that we have for them. Jesus is with you. We believe that Jesus is with us. And maybe you need to hear that this morning. Jesus is with you. So when you go to a job that you struggle with because of other people in your workplace, before you leave the house or before you get out of your car or whatever you do, Jesus be with me. And you will hear him say, "I am with you." Jesus is with you. And maybe that is a word you need to speak to others as well. Jesus has not abandoned you. Jesus is with you. Or maybe it's simply, do not be afraid. Just believe. Do not be afraid. Just believe. To the unnamed whose faith is hanging on by a thread, but we'll give it one more try. We will encounter this week someone whose faith is hanging on by a thread. Maybe even today, some of you in this room's faith is hanging on by a thread, who need to hear a word from those stories, who are caught up and into the mission of reflecting the light to the nations, whose eyes, ears, and hearts are open to their calling. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Those of you whose faith is hanging on by a thread this morning, hear that, not from my lips, but from Jesus' lips, because He said it first. Your faith has saved you, rescued you. Go out in peace. This is what the Gospels are inviting us to take hold of. Jared, you guys are welcome to come on back up. When we pay attention, when we journey through the gospel stories, what started with "it took a child," it takes a child. For the shepherds, it took a child to get them to realize, to see, to believe that they belonged. To Jairus, to the unnamed woman in Mark's gospel, to the father whose son needed to be healed in chapter 9. And we get the statement that is one of the rawest and realest prayers in the entire Bible. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It's one of the most rawest and realest prayers in the entire Bible. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. To blind Bartimaeus in chapter 10, who is calling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples, being the disciples, are like, be quiet, Bartimaeus, you're starting, you're causing a scene. Stop it, be quiet. And he didn't stop shouting it. He wouldn't let the disciples get in the way of him getting to Jesus. Now, what does that say to us? The disciples are telling him to be quiet, and Bartimaeus shouts all the more, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then what Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus, who was once blind, but very quickly in this story he is no longer, says, I want to see. I want to see. And then you go back to the unnamed woman whose name is daughter, and you hear, your faith has rescued you. Go in peace. As we sing this invitation song, there are many ways in which you can respond if you believe you need to this morning. If you would like prayers from the church, please come down and see me. I'll be down here to your left, my right. Would be happy to listen to you and to pray with you. If you're looking for a more closed-in, kind of intimate place, our shepherds